So good morning. Today is July 24, 2020. And today's guest, we reconnected back with each other about a decade later. She's an advocate for the gay rights movement, and she's currently a grad student at Cal Poly Pomona. Hi, Esther.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good myself.
So she is, what are you studying at Cal Poly Pomona?
So I'm doing both my credential and my master's. So I'm going to be going for my credential, mm-hmm. which is in adapted physical education, and then do the same with my master's. So I'm going to finish them both at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome. So when do you graduate?
I actually just got in this fall, so I'll be graduating in, I think, 2 years, and then I'll start my clinical practice for teaching.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a long ride.
I feel you. I just graduated like a couple of months ago, so I'm like, it's over. and I'm applying for my master programs for next year, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I'm like still going for this. So it's pretty interesting journey.
Agreed.
So I think for the first question is, what are you doing currently, and what do you plan on doing in the future with your degree?
So currently I work at a small local restaurant. Mm-hmm. Gift lead. But aside from that, yeah, like I'm still going to school. I'm finishing up my undergrad right now as we speak. I'm taking my last class, mm-hmm. along with my first credential class. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just been a long ride of me trying to figure out what I want to pursue in the future. And it's awesome that I get to integrate it. So as a kid, I was like a longtime swimmer, right? I grew up swimming in high school, and I did it in community college. Mm-hmm. That's actually how I found out that I wanted to serve the special needs population, uh-huh. or just differently abled people. Mm-hmm. And I just remember my first swim lesson that I taught, it was an adapted swim lesson. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had the support of the mom of the student, like right there with me. Mm-hmm. And that lesson, I ended up being able to connect with both of them. Mm-hmm. And my heart, I just remember how big my heart felt and how happy I felt. And I was like, wow, like, I want to do this. Like, these are the people that I want to serve.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually like a kinesiology like major mm-hmm. at ASU at the time. Well, obviously I'm not going into kinesiology, but when I was a student, I did a research. It was like a research internship. I don't remember what was the correct title for it. But we had to serve like the special needs like population, and we had to do it through like various workouts, and it was adults with Down syndrome, and we had to do like surveys with them, and then after the survey we set up like different workout routines for them. So yeah, it was pretty interesting study, and honestly it brought like so much joy in me. I know it's like not what I'm like currently doing right now, but I remember at the time, mm-hmm. I actually really enjoyed it. So I commend you for doing what you're doing currently.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. And so if anyone knows how we reconnected, I saw your post on Instagram. It was about one of your blogs, and mm-hmm. I was really interested in it. I read like two of your posts. So what made you start a blog?
Yeah, so my blog, essentially it's personal. Mm-hmm. I started it because I just wanted to make sure that I was getting my voice out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm Korean American, I'm queer, mm-hmm. and I'm Christian. And those are three things that can be opposing. Mm-hmm. Not so much the Korean and Christian, but definitely being queer and the other two. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to be able to have a platform where I am able to have a voice, but also that I am able to invite others into, mm-hmm. just to let them know that, like, we're not alone, like, that they're not alone. So
Yeah, I think that's amazing, because when I read your post, I was like, okay, like, we kind of, like, need to connect, and I'm doing blogging as well, and there was, like, certain posts where I got very, I guess I went pretty deep on, like, two or three of my posts on my website, and I remember, like, I started getting likes, and, like, a lot of people were looking at that content, and we never know who's going through the same thing or something similar, and people can read it and they can kind of, you know, I feel like they would feel better, because sometimes I look through certain posts of like something I went through and then another person went through, I find online, and I'm just like, oh, like someone else is going through the same thing, and I feel like I'm not alone.
Right. And it ends up being this like cycle of healing when you, because it's just so validating.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's the space that I wanted to provide.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think going forward from that question, one of your posts is that you pretty much, you started an intersection between Christianity and gay rights, and I just wanted to know what made you start that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that I personally started it, but it's something that is important to me because I am both Christian and queer. And I think like being in both communities, it's apparent how they oppose one another, you know, like not to trigger people, but there are Christians that say gay people should go to hell. And there are gay people and queer people that think the worst of Christians, you know, and I'm a part of both. I'm both Christian and queer. And so I think it's important to just be able to hold on to both and bring light to people that you can be both. And like, I'm actually a pastor's kid. Like, I grew up, my dad has been preaching longer than I've been born. And so that with me realizing post-college or maybe in the beginning of college that I was queer, it just really made me question my Christianity. And I think if I were in a more like positive Christian environment, it would have been easier, but it was actually pretty difficult.
Yeah. I know like when I had friends like in the past that were religious, when they went to church, I remember at the time I was taking a religious class in my freshman year of college. It was like an elective class I took, and the person that was the professor that was in that class, he was a pastor, but he was like a gay rights activist pastor, and he started like a green church in California for people who are queer to go in there. So he said, oh, find like a person of like any religion and like interview them. So I remember I interviewed like a friend at the time, and then I asked like, oh, like, do you accept gay people at your church? And it was just like a very like, no, we don't. And I was like, okay then. And it's just a lot of, I've met people where they say they are accepting of it, but then when it kind of comes down to someone coming in their church, they kind of like, you know, feel uncomfortable or kind of like say certain remarks that I've heard.
Right, exactly.
And it makes like people like, you know, who are queer, like very uncomfortable. And I, you know, that's why a lot of people that are in that community, they do resent, you know, Christianity or, you know, or other faiths because of that, you know, ignorance and not accepting them.
Yeah, definitely. I like how you were saying like they'll say they're accepting but they're not. In the Christian community, that's actually like a term. A lot of these churches will say that they're quote-unquote accepting, but the more general, like the bigger picture term aside from accepting is affirming. So that would mean that you affirm who they are, and then as opposed to where accepting is more of like a face value. And so, yeah, I just like how you use that term, because that's exactly the term that is used when someone will be like, oh, yes, you can come into our church, but wait, you're dating someone? Oh, you can't pursue leadership here, but stay here because we want to fix you.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, they want to, like, fix you, or they're or like they'll be acceptive of it to your face, but then like they'll talk about you behind your back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I've met people like that in the, you know, in the Christian faith specifically. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a little bit, you know, upsetting because, you know, you're going into this place where technically, you know, you should feel accepted and, you know, and then you're kind of not. So, you know, in a sense, it's like, well, what are you kind of promoting?
Yeah. Right.
And so the next question is, were you still active in the church?
Yeah, so my freshman year of college was actually when I started coming out. And then fast forward, so that actually didn't go well. So I had to wait another few years to officially come out to myself and be more confident. So that year, I actually just made it a New Year's resolution. It wasn't like anything religious. It was just like, I want to start portraying myself more and to be more authentic. And so, like, usually my New Year's resolutions are themes. And so authenticity was my theme of that year. And so throughout that year, I was realizing like, hey, I'm queer. This is something that's important to me. And I need to start telling people. And so around that time, sorry, this is a long story.
No, it's okay. We have time here.
Around that time, I ended up coming out to one of my super close friends. And just like you were saying, like she accepted me. She was fully like gracious. Like she seemed to love on me at that moment, right? And then a week or two later, I get a really long message from her that says exactly the opposite of what she said to me in person. And honestly, that really hurt because this was someone that I considered a really close friend. And she was using her beliefs in Christianity to devalue my my own. And so this time I was actually, it was hard for me because like I said, my dad was a pastor and even though my dad is accepting and affirming actually, my mom is the total opposite. And so I stopped going to my parents' churches just because I didn't want to be in their environment anymore. And I was trying to look for churches, but it was kind of a difficult time for me around that time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you know, I remember when we had the Zoom call and you were telling me the story, you know, about your friend. And it's just interesting because she messaged you like a week later and told you all of that. And I, you know, I think she did care about you, but I think it was just like certain like viewpoints where, you know, I think it's just like, you know, someone's viewpoints and then your own viewpoints. And it was just kind of unfortunate that you lost, you know, the friendship. But I think when you said that your New Year's resolution is that was authenticity and you wanted it to be accepted more and you wanted to accept yourself more. And I just find it interesting that, you know, when you are, I guess, being authentic and yourself, that's when they kind of like turn on you. So
yeah, that's when there's pushback.
Exactly. And I think those type of people are not really like meant for you at that time in certain ways. And there's always going to be people who are going to be there for you because it's like that saying, someone did tell me that, you know, there's going to be friends that are going to come and go into your life and they're going to be there for a season and then for a reason. And you're always going to find people that are going to be for you and accept you for who you are. Yeah. So I think, the next question is, are you still active in a church right now?
Actually, I am. So after that whole incident happened, I decided to church hop for almost like 6 months straight, I think. And so every single week, I live not far from Long Beach. And so every single week I was going to a different church for six months. And it was very tiring.
And I ended up finding one that I was hoping was going to be in Long Beach, but it ended up being all the way in LA. Mm-hmm. And for someone like, I commute to Cal Poly Pomona, mm-hmm. right? For someone that commutes Monday through Friday, I ended up starting to commute also on Sundays just to go to a church. Yeah. It was really tiring, but I, like, at the end of the day, I realized, like, I can't commute 6 out of 7 days of the week, like, for my mental and physical health sake. So what ended up happening was, it was just a random Sunday, and two of my friends messaged me in a group chat, and they were like, hey, do you want to go to this church? I found, like, good things mm-hmm. on it. And it's on Church Clarity, which is a website that shows you, like, fully affirming mm-hmm. churches. And so that Sunday, we were like, you know what? We're all going to go. I think I ended up bringing my girlfriend, mm-hmm. too. And, like, it was 4 or 5 of us friends just sitting at a new church that we had never been to. But we were all for one another. And so, yeah, we've actually been to that church for a year now. And it's been the greatest experience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that at the end you were able to find a place where I think you, how do I say, like, you don't have to mince your words and you don't have to kind of mm-hmm. feel like you're walking on eggshells. And I just hated that feeling with certain people where you felt like you had to walk on eggshells, and I guess you can be who you're supposed to be with somebody. So that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually really a big deal. So this church is actually called, the subject is kind of like a third way church. So it's actually not fully affirming. It has some people that are more conservative and, like, still have questions with Christianity and the LGBTQ mm-hmm. spectrum. And so in the beginning, I actually did have to, I don't know if it was because of trauma or what, but I did have to walk on eggshells. I was like, do I tell them that my girlfriend is over there? Do I introduce mm-hmm. them to her, you know? But I've just been realizing how, like, regardless of what these people's standpoints are, like, the theme of this church is that we love one exactly. another. And, like, in that, like, that being something that's so real in everyone's hearts, it's like, yes, I can be authentic. And I can invite people into my lives and, yeah, just be known there. And so it's a really good time.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. And I'm happy that, because the thing is that you can't control everyone's mindset. You know, everyone just mm-hmm. has, like, different, like, perspectives and things, but in life that they deal with or they've seen. But I think it's just you coming in and just kind of surrendering in the process and just being like, you know what, this is who I am. You know, you can take it or leave it. I'm still going to do me.
Right. Yeah. Being at this church has definitely been healing for mm-hmm. that reason. Because now it's like, now that I've been in a safe Christian environment, mm-hmm. I'm more likely to be, like, out and, like, I don't know why, but now that I'm in a safe Christian environment, I'm more likely to be out in a non-safe Christian environment. Just because I think I've been able to, like, bring strength and feel known already in mm-hmm. one place. So now I feel able to do it in others where it may be even more uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's growth, and I think, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like it kind of shows that you can kind of overcome anything. So the next question is, are your parents accepting of you now?
This question. So like I was saying, my dad is affirming and he has been for a long time, even though I didn't really explicitly know that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually I had to come out to my mom that same year because I was outed to her by 2 different people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them who was a mentor who I thought I trusted. And because that happened, it kind of just deteriorated our whole relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was an old roommate. And so I actually came out to my mom out of respect to her, you know, like, my thought process was, you've heard it from 2 people now, might as well hear it from me, you know? Mm-hmm.
what ended up actually happening was that same week I packed all my things and I left.
Oh no. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so it was a pretty rough few months after that, just because it's like at one point she disowned me, which actually felt more relieving than anything. But like one of the reasons why I left was because she actually wanted to admit herself into the hospital and blame it on me.
What?
Yeah, and so it's like her mental health wasn't stable, and I knew me being there wasn't going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so, if anything, it led to more growth on my part. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we still don't have a good relationship, and I'm kind of okay with that, just knowing that her mental health isn't the best anyway. And so, I kind of think it's for the best. Mm-hmm. I think if I wouldn't have told her, I would still kind of be like stepping around her toes. And so I would rather her, like, I don't think I would change the outcome is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunate, but I think some people, like, you kind of just have to, unfortunately, let go in your life, even if it is, even if it is family.
Right.
Sometimes, like, it can be very draining. And I know it's hard to let go of family. But I feel like if the family is kind of like abusive and toxic, and I don't know, they're just, you feel like you have to walk on eggshells constantly, then what's like, you know, the point of being around this person? I think it's just better for you and for them to just, you know, separate.
Yeah, it really was. And like, I mean, I haven't gone to Christmases or anything in quite a few years. But I'll see her occasionally at like family parties at my brother's house, because my brother invites me and my girlfriend over all the time, you know, and my mom will be at these family parties, and she'll still kind of like try to have certain interactions with me, but I'm just like, I just kind of keep things on face value and don't let things, like, I won't take things that are positive personally, but I definitely won't take things if I were to have a negative experience personally. And so I'm pretty, I don't know how to describe it.
No, yeah. I understand. No, yeah. I understand where you're coming from. I think, you know, it just happens with certain families that, you know, you're not always going to get along. But yeah, the thing is, you know, just because they're related to you by blood doesn't mean you can't find like your soul family, or you can't find, you know, there's people that are in your life that are closer to you like family than the actual family that you have.
Yes, that's why I love the term chosen family, because it's like, you know, my siblings are my chosen family also, but they're also my bio fam. But there's so many friends that I consider my chosen family.
Yeah.
And that term just means so much more to me than bio family.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of people, like, they can't, they feel like they still have to be with their parents, you know, or still talk to them, and like they treat them like a certain way, and it's like, well, you don't have to like put up with that, especially when you're like already like a grown adult. It's like, who needs to be talked to and treated like that? So I commend you for that, and it can be very difficult, but I would say, what was healing for you in this process?
I think so having to come out to my mom meant that I had to own who I was. And I think the most healing part was just that separation that I got from her. Because for so long I lived under her house, you know, she's like the figurehead in our family, and so what she says goes,
right?
Which is why, like, even though my dad is affirming of me, like, he kind of doesn't really have that much say in our family dynamic. And so it was healing for me, just because I got to, like, just separate myself from my mom, and I just got to own myself and true to who I was, and not let what she had to say or do affect me.
I agree with you. I think sometimes, like, you have to, you know, be on your own and, you know, separate yourself to really figure out like who you are. And I think just being your own person, it's like, oh, you don't have to like wake up or, and feel like you're stressed in that way. You can just wake up and feel like, oh, you know, I'm going to work today, or I'm going to see like my partner today, or, you know, you don't have to worry about like your, you know, someone is like saying like these negative things about you. So I think sometimes, you know, I do like recommend people like, hey, like, you know, you kind of need to, you know, move out of your parents' house, because there's some people that still live with their parents and that's fine. Right. But I think, you know, there has to come to a point where you need to figure yourself out and see what you want to do separate from your family.
Yeah, honestly, it was really hard for me because my crazy school schedule, around the time I came out to my mom, I couldn't find a job, so I was actually unemployed. And I moved, like, I had to leave that same week, you know. And so I'm thankful that I have friends that were able to take me in, and I lived with them until like recently. But it's like the reality is not a lot of people are financially able to do that.
Exactly.
And so it's just like, it makes it hard when it's like you live with such toxic people and you need to leave, but how can you when we can't even afford rent right now?
I mean, I think in that situation is that, you know, it's good that you had like, you know, supportive people that could help you at that time.
Definitely.
You know, there's some people that don't, and you know, they don't know how to make it out of the financial situation they're in. But luckily, you know, you had support, and you know, you can look back and be like, you know what, there were people that really care about me and really love me, and they helped me through this difficult time.
Yes, amen.
And so what does forgiveness mean to you?
This is actually a hard question when it comes to me talking about my mom. But I think aside from that, I think forgiveness is an action, and I think it's something that we have to go through over and over again. I don't think it's something that happens all at once. I wouldn't even know if I'd be able to say if people are able to like fully forgive one another, because I know sometimes like you can be mad at someone for something and then like say you forgive them, but you remember it like a month later and you realize you're still mad at them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well,
and so I don't know. I think forgiveness is just this like journey to find some sort of inner peace with people that have wronged you. I think it's a process that definitely has to happen over and over again.
Yeah, I think forgiveness for me, I think it definitely takes time, because, you know, since like that person's not really gonna apologize, but it's really just like, you know, finding that inner peace and letting it go. And it's just kind of like whatever happened. I think we're all human and we make mistakes and we say things or do things that, you know, are not the best. But you know, either like, you know, we just let it, you know, it's kind of like letting it go and just, you know, and just let it be. You know, I'm not perfect, and I think the other person's not perfect either. But you know, it's kind of like those things, like it is what it is, and there's no point of like holding on to grudges. Obviously it's easier said than, you know, than done, because it is a process and it really takes time, because there's sometimes like I would think about somebody that wronged me and I'm like, ooh, like I am still upset about this, you know, what they did. But you know, at the end of the day, it's finding, like you said, it's finding your inner peace in that instance.
Definitely, like with my friend I mentioned earlier, like her and I have actually reconciled, we're friends again. But it is hard, because sometimes I'll rethink about what she did and it'll be kind of triggering all over again. But I think at the end of the day with people, it's just choosing whether or not you want relationship with them. And with my friend, it's like it's something that I've been choosing, like yes, I still want to be friends with her. Like things have happened in the past, but they're different now. But just bringing it back to my mom, I think the thing that's different with my friend and versus my mom is I know my mom's in the same headspace as she was when I met her.
And so for that reason, it's like, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I can forgive her right now. And it's like, not only did she say things to me, she also found contact with my partner's like family and with my, like her cell phone number, and was doing like stuff like that, that caused pain to her. And so, yeah, it's just with my mom, I think it's a totally different conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some people that it takes a little bit longer. I know like my mom had issues with my grandma on my dad's side for like many, many years. Like they didn't talk for like 20 something years, and they were like holding this grudge like against each other for so long. And she recently passed away about three months ago, I would say. And it's kind of interesting, like right before, like maybe like a month or 2 months before she was passed, you know, she passed away because she was really sick. Her and my mom actually like reconciled, you know, and it was really interesting. And you know, right before she passed away, like the last person like she needed was my mom. So yeah, and you just never know. And I think sometimes it's just, you know, we all do stupid shit and we all, you know, have our own values, but you know, some people you can forgive and, you know, just let it be. And then I feel like your heart is not as like, you know, heavy anymore. And then there's some people that I feel like they will never change, and it's just unfortunate, but you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yeah, I actually don't know if I would even use the term like needing to forgive my mom, because it's like I'm honestly not mad at her anymore. It's just more of like, I feel like a parent using this term. I'm more like disappointed about the things and the things that she chose to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not something that like triggers me anymore, but it's just like, it's still enough for me to need that separation from her. Yeah.
You know, you never know. I think it's just, if it doesn't trigger you anymore, I think it's just those things where you just got to live your life to the fullest. And whatever happens, if she ends up contacting you and you guys have a talk, then, and she's finally changed, I would, you know, still try to give her a chance.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely open.
So I think the next question, you know, what is the importance of a chosen family? Like, what qualities are you looking for?
I feel like chosen family is so important. Just because, like I said, like, if I didn't have the chosen family of those who let me into their home without paying rent the first few months I was there, you know, like, I wouldn't be where I'm at currently. I think it's just so important to have people that are on your side that are there for you. And so the qualities, like, but the number one quality that I think of is loyalty, because yeah, like when I came out to people, like a lot of my friends, they're still loyal to me, you know, like they're still on my side, still loving me, whatever, like whatever pronouns I call myself, whatever sexuality I am, you know. And so I think it's just that, like, that loyalty that you need in chosen family, just to know that they're for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, other qualities that I can think of, like, from that one stemming from loyalty is just people that are loving, you know? And that doesn't mean, like, I think so often in the Christian community, we often think that only Christians are loving, and that's totally false, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some of my non-Christian friends love me better than my Christian friends have, you know? And that's just a blatant reality. And so, like, yeah, find your people, find yourself people that are loyal, loving, that support you. And yeah, like, I definitely think respect is one of the top things up there. I was actually having a conversation, I think last week or so, with people on how we talk to one another as we're having conflict, you know, and how do we deal with conflict with people. And what I ended up realizing is if you want to get through conflict with someone, whether it's your significant other, someone in your family member, mm-hmm. there needs to be that underlying respect.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're not just blowing your heads off yelling at one another, but you're able to actually have a conversation.
Right.
So I think respect is also important in chosen family, not only like to receive, but also for you to give to others as well.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I agree with you. I think respect is definitely important because not all of our viewpoints are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, we can kind of come to a compromise and we can have these open discussions. And, you know, instead of just like yelling at each other and just like there's just kind of like no point of getting across. Right. You know, I think it's really, you know, not only just listening, but like understanding and not talking over the person. And I think you guys can have this dialogue between each other, and then that's where like the, you know, the good communication comes in.
Yeah.
And I think transitioning to that question is, how have you dealt with depression?
So I actually grew up with depression. It's something that's been following me for more than 10 years now, as I'm, how old am I, 26? And honestly, it's different how I deal with it now.
Mm-hmm.
As a teenager, I used to, you know, like being numb was big. I would just like become emotionless and
mm-hmm.
just go through things for the motion, for the sake. And I thought that was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, after that, I was like, no, this doesn't work. Let me try to find something else. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing is I ended up like self-hating even more, and I found shame, mm-hmm. and I felt shame when I had depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that just created more like, just, it was just a negative cycle of emotions. But now I, like, through a few years of therapy, I'm not currently in therapy right now, which is a shame,
mm-hmm.
but over the years of therapy, I've learned that I just have to face it, you know? I can't just ignore it and be like, okay, I'm gonna be over here, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Try to walk away from it like those commercials.
Right. But
it's like, no, like I see it face to face. Sometimes I'll literally find myself having conversations with it. Like I kind of, my depression is kind of like another person in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to see it face to face is very helpful,
mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of that separation of this is me, but my depression is something else.
Right.
And yeah, just being able to like talk to it sometimes, like, you know what? I don't feel like getting out of bed today, but today I'm going to, and you're just going to have to deal with that depression. So I'm going to get out of bed. You can do you. Like, I'm going to continue going about my day. So like little things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, I agree with you. I think it's just kind of like accepting our shadows, because we all have, you know, the light and then the dark, and we all deal with, you know, I think most of us deal with depression, anxiety, and, you know, any other mental like health issues, but I think it's just accepting those shadows and knowing that that's like separate from you. Because a lot of people, when they like describe themselves, they talk about like the trauma they went through, and then, you know, that's like not who, and I spoke about this in another podcast, I'm like, that's not who you are. Like, your trauma is separate from the person who you actually are.
Yeah,
you're like a different person. And I think it's trying to like separate those two and accepting that, you know, this is, you know, the darkness that we have in us, and that's okay. And then how can we, you know, reprogram our minds, you know, doing, you know, little wins, you know, maybe writing like a gratitude journal, and those things really can help someone overcome any obstacles they have in their mind or in life.
Yes, agreed. And I just want to bring to light, like, I'm currently not on the antidepressants, but I believe in them, you know? Like, I did have a bad experience. I kind of had an allergic reaction to them to the point where I had a seizure. But, like, during that time, like, before that happened, it was actually really nice being on antidepressants when I found the chemicals that worked for me.
Right.
And like since then, I just, it's kind of been traumatic for me. So I haven't allowed myself to rediscover antidepressants again. Mm-hmm. But like, I just want to highlight to people like antidepressants and other medications, like anti-anxiety mm-hmm. and things like that. Like they can be really helpful. And I don't want to like dismiss that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people are like, you know, still scared in a sense to take like antidepressants and anti-anxiety, because I think there's just like a heavy stigma on it still, you know, even though like it's improved, but I think there's still stigma on like taking like certain medications. And I don't think there's anything wrong with taking certain medications that somebody needs.
Right.
Because I know some people with like, you know, different mental like illnesses, you know, they have to go through like certain medications to find the right medication for them. And it right. could definitely be a process. So, you know, obviously I'm all for like, you know, Eastern medicine, and obviously there's other like healing modalities, but I'm also for biomedicine as well.
Yeah. So it just depends on the person and preference, and yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, how did you, like, reprogram your mind? Like, what are tips you can give someone to, like, reprogram their mind?
I think one of the biggest things was, like, just being able to see my depression face-to-face, you know, right. and accept that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, on days that I didn't want to make my bed, I would decide, you know, if I don't do anything else, I'm going to get out of bed and make my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting my day like that, that was, you know, once you realize you can do something, it'll just be a domino effect, and you'll just continue being able to do more and more things.
Mm-hmm.
So literally sometimes like I wouldn't be able to get out of bed and that would be okay. But mm-hmm. other days I would decide to make my bed, and then, oh, look, I showered and I'm brushing my teeth. And it's just like little things like that, that might sound a little basic to others not going through depression.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just focusing on those little wins that helped me.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you, because I went through like a depression stage, and I was just in bed like all the time, and I really had to like motivate myself to get up. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes like I would do like everything at once. I'm like, okay, I'll have to do this to like get better. But then like I would go back to being in like the depression stage, like laying in bed again.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely like, you know, doing little things till it like progresses, because when you do everything at once, then I don't think you're like set up for success. You have
right.
to, like, I think it has to like gradually go.
Yeah. And when you try to do everything at once, it just becomes overwhelming. And so it just brings you back to stage zero or negative, you know? So
yeah.
It's just like, yeah, do one thing, do a few things at a time.
Yeah.
One definitely. Thing if you really need to. Yeah.
Most definitely. And mm-hmm. Do you think more knowledge needs to be shared, as far as in like therapy and different like healing techniques?
Yeah. So what I love about Instagram as of recent, I think I started noticing it last year, was all these therapists and psychologists are coming out and sharing these free resources on their Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my favorite thing ever, because it's like sometimes I didn't know that I need to hear this, or that I need to like say this to myself today, like give myself a little affirmation, things like that. And I just love that they're making things more accessible financially, you know, with sharing these free resources. I love right now, like I said, I'm not in therapy myself, but a lot of my friends are able to now access therapy, like during this coronavirus, through cameras, you know, like we're able to have like web therapy. And I think that's like, that's such a big deal, because especially for people who can't drive out themselves and go have therapy, now you can just have therapy in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of my most favorite things right now. But yeah, aside from that, I think something that also helped me is when I was in high school, I had a Tumblr, and mm-hmm. in the beginning, I was on like the negative, like self-hate, Trigger warning, like cutting yourself, like side of Tumblr, right?
The dark side of Tumblr.
Yeah, exactly. And then I ended up like deleting that one. I was like, I'm seeing way too much toxic stuff. I think this is messing with my brain. And it actually was. Mm-hmm. And I made myself another one, and I decided to only follow positive things and people. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in this like self-love movement that I didn't know I needed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest wins that our society is doing right now. Just spreading the awareness of how important self-love is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, especially in the Christian community, because I think so often we tend to like serve others for God, but I think so oftentimes we forget to serve ourselves. Like how scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but we only, as Christians, we oftentimes only think about loving our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And so I love that self-love is such a big thing right now. Yeah,
that's amazing. And I think it's interesting with the power of social media, because I know people mm-hmm. that follow like certain content and like, you know, like news, like a lot of like news and, you know, negative things on the internet. And obviously like you need to be like up to date with certain things, but when you keep seeing certain things over and over and over, it can really like mentally affect you. I always try to like certain, you know, self-love posts, or mm-hmm. follow like certain people on Instagram, or things like that, because, you know, your feed definitely changes. And I think, you know, when you go on social media, it's not a bunch of like negative like stuff out there.
I agree.
So you have to make sure, like, you know, who are you following, like what are you liking, because that all shows up in your feed and you're like, oh shit, like maybe I need to redirect my energy, because some of the things I used to follow in the past were a bit negative and it was a little bit too much for me. And I ended up like unfollowing it, and I don't really see a lot of that stuff anymore. I just kind of I follow people who are like very for the most part very positive, and you know, that's what I want on my feed. I don't want to, you know, see like a bunch of negative things. And so and there's just so much negativity out in the world like right now, but you know, I think we need to find the positivity in things as well.
Yeah, we don't need that negativity.
No, we don't. And I think the last question is, what would you tell someone who went through the same thing as you?
I think the first thing that definitely comes to mind is just to be brave. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think with being brave, like a lot of things follow, you know, like it's just, you just need to be brave to be able to accept yourself as who you are. Mm-hmm. And then for that to create that domino effect of other people accepting you to be that way. Like if I wasn't brave enough to come out to myself or be authentic that year, I wouldn't be where I am, you know, like with my girlfriend at my church. I didn't say this in the past, but that same year is the same year that I met my girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like, if that wasn't my New Year's resolution, then I don't think I would have met her, you know, because I was actually being real with myself and I wasn't shoving stuff down that I felt about women and like people and, you know. And so, yeah, just decide to be brave. And if, like we were saying earlier, if that sounds too intimidating, start with like being brave. You know, it can look big or small. So, yeah, like if you're not being brave in your personality or being out yet, or if that's not safe, be brave in giving someone a compliment today. You know, like start with little things that will be able to be big things.
Yeah, I love I love that. I think, you know, that year it's like you embrace who like Esther is, and once you embraced who Esther was, like I think the things that were leaving your life was supposed to leave your life at that moment, and the things that were supposed to come in were coming in. And I think that's when you discover yourself, you were kind of like you were headed to the right path.
Agreed. Yeah, thank you. I agree too.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, anyone, where can they follow you on social media, any platforms?
Yeah, so my handle is the Esther of Kim, so it's going to be a double E in the first four words, you know, the Esther of Kim.
Okay.
And my blog, it's kind of an unofficial blog, but if you just want to Google like Blogspot and the phrase the starving succulent, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. I kind of haven't updated it in a while, but I plan to get back at it pretty soon.
Okay, no worries. I mean, I'll put it on the description as well, so if people want to want to, you know, click on it and, you know, read some posts, then I definitely recommend. Yeah. But thank you for coming on, and I hope you have a really good day today.
Thank you. It was so good talking to you.
Yes, we have to.
We'll have to meet up in person after all of this.
Yes, we do. I love Long. I actually love Long Beach, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was in Long Beach. I love Long Beach.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm actually going to California in like 2-3 weeks. So if you want, we can like
exciting.
But we can, you know, hit each other up, but safely, of course.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely safely.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. Bye.